Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
All the blood. All the pain.
Hey, Crime Salad listeners. Welcome back to another episode of Crime Salad. My name's Ashley, and with me always is my partner in crime, Ricky.
Hey, guys.
Sorry for this being a day late. We have painters coming Friday, which is tomorrow, according to today. So
we're recording the intro today.
Yeah, we're recording the intro
today. We've been working on the episode all freaking week.
Yeah, in between just people coming in and out and the baby, and it's been a very eventful week.
So basically, we moved into the house. We had movers put everything at, like, where it needs to be. Now we're getting painting and flooring done for the entire house, so we have to move everything back up.
So we did. We just have a few things like two couches and a mattress and...
But no movers this time. Like, we're doing it all.
Yeah. So we're moving back into Ricky's parents' basement for a week starting tonight.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. And we have three dogs and they have...
Three dogs.
Three dogs?
Eight dogs.
Eight dogs. So it's going to just be... Like a,
it's gonna be a giant dog pack running around,
and a baby screaming, and us trying to do the podcast. So
I think Pug's gonna turn feral.
But we do have one more episode of Bad Sound because we are getting a what's it called?
Whisper Room Sound Booth.
Woo! That sounds exciting.
It sounds expensive.
Sounds expensive. How much? No,
it's a little expensive, but I've wanted one for like. Probably 5 years.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. And the echo will be removed.
Plus we can like do whatever we want. Like we can move it. We can, you know.
Yeah. We can go outside and record.
You can go outside and record.
We can do whatever we want. So we do have one patron that we would like to shout out. Thank you so much, Jessica, for becoming a patron. We really appreciate it.
Woo.
Woo. Thanks for your support. And anything else you'd like to add?
My head hurts.
Your head hurt?
Mm-hmm.
My feet hurt. All right, so let's jump into this week's episode. If you turned on the news at all this month, then we're sure almost all of you have heard about this case. It's been everywhere for the past few weeks. Beyond people's interest in the mystery behind the case itself, the disappearance and death of Gabby Petito has brought up important conversations about unseen domestic abuse, which cases get prioritized in the media, and how regular people can make the biggest difference when solving cases. We'll try to give you as much of the backstory about what is known in this case, but at this point, it's still unfolding. Born on March 19, 1999, Gabby Petito was the firstborn child of Joe and Nicole. The new parents eventually divorced and remarried, and by the time she was in her 20s, Gabby was the oldest sister to six siblings and half-siblings. Her family lived in Blue Point, New York, a small hamlet on Long Island with a population of about 5,000 people. Gabby was a warm, bubbly, and friendly girl with big dreams. Everyone who knew her had kind things to say about about her, particularly that she was full of life and always smiling. Gabby was always someone who was willing to help others, and she went out of her way to be kind to everyone. Even from a young age, she was the light in many people's lives. Gabby attended Bayport Blue Point High School in Long Island, New York, and it was there that she met Brian Laundry. Brian was the youngest child of Christopher and Roberta Laundry. He had one older sister, Cassie, who was 9 years older than him. Like Gabby, he had similar interests in traveling, nature, and art. Though he was a year older than her, they quickly hit it off and began dating in 2017, the year that Gabby graduated from high school. After spending a couple years together in Blue Point, the couple decided to move to Northport, Florida to live with Brian's parents. Though the Laundries were Long Island natives, they had moved to Florida to start a company of their own in 2017. Christopher and Roberta ran Juicer Services, a company that services commercial juicing equipment. They ran the company out of their home and were elated to hear that Gabby and Brian were coming to live with them in 2019. In Northport, Gabby got a job as a pharmacy technician at the same Publix grocery store where Brian worked. Gabby and Brian were working to save up enough money to get a camper van of their own and travel the country. Gabby, with the help of Brian occasionally, ran a YouTube channel and Instagram that were quickly growing in popularity. Gabby's YouTube channel, called Nomadic Static, had 87.4 thousand subscribers, while her Instagram was quickly approaching 1 million. Gabby recorded her road trips, hikes, life, and time spent in nature. Gabby and Brian were planning on documenting their trip across the country to share on YouTube and Instagram to her many, many followers. Gabby's Instagram bio reads, "Traveling the world in our tiny van, art, yoga, and veggies." By all accounts, Gabby Petito and Brian Laundry were deeply in love. They frequently posted loving photos of each other on social media and spent much of their time with each other's families. In July of 2020, after they had been dating for 3 years or so, Brian proposed to Gabby and she excitedly said yes, posting photos of her ring and happy smile on Instagram. This past July, Gabby's brother was graduating from high school in Blue Point, New York. The couple attended the graduation and set out to start their cross-country trip from there. They didn't quite get the camper van they dreamed of, but instead took Gabby's white Ford van. Gabby and Brian started their trip and headed to the West Coast via state and national parks. In all, they planned to be gone for 4 months and to document the entire trip on their social media and YouTube channel. Though her parents were going to miss her, Gabby promised to remain in contact with them the entire time she was traveling. Gabby Petito and Brian Laundry left from Blue Point, New York on July 2nd, 2021. Their first confirmed stop was in Grove County, Kansas, where Gabby posted pictures from Monument Rocks on the 4th of July. From there, they made their way to Colorado Springs and then spent July 10th and 11th at the Great Sand Dunes in Colorado. Between the 16th and the 31st, Gabby posted pictures of herself and Brian smiling and happy from places all around Utah, including Zion National Park, Bryce Canyon, Cannon Lands, and Mystic Hot Springs. As far as Gabby was letting on, and that anyone can tell from the photos, this was the trip of a lifetime, and she was loving every minute of it.
What happened on August 12, 2021 in Moab, Utah, paints quite a different story than what Gabby was sharing on social media. Just outside the Moonflower Community Cooperative, police were called after someone witnessed a dispute between Gabby and Brian turned violent. According to a witness, the argument seemed to be over something on Gabby's phone, which Brian had aggressively taken from her. The witness told police that it seemed as if Brian was trying to leave without her, refusing to let Gabby get into the van or give her her phone back. Gabby, in an effort to get back in the car, was seen punching him in the arm or the face as she tried to get back into the car. Eventually, Gabby was able to climb over his lap and into the passenger seat.
Another witness, the one who actually called the fight into the police, shared that they had seen Brian slap Gabby and aggressively grab her face. Police responded to the caller's reports to prevent any more violence. When they arrived at Gabby and Brian's van, they noted that Brian did have some scratches on his arms, but he, for the most part, seemed calm and collected. Gabby, on the other hand, appeared distraught, and as she talked with the officers, took much of the blame for what had happened herself. They assured the police that they were in love, engaged to be married, and desperately didn't want anyone charged with a crime. According to the officer on the scene, Eric Pratt, the police officers suggested that perhaps they spend some time apart so that they could cool down for the night without tensions escalating more. But both adamantly objected to that idea, not wanting to be separated at all. The officers described Gabby as confused and emotional. To them, it seemed like it was more of a mental health crisis and less of a domestic assault. By the last week of August, Brian and Gabby were on to their next location, Wyoming. On August 24th, Gabby FaceTimed her mom to let her know that they were leaving the Fairfield Inn in Salt Lake City, Utah, and headed towards Grand Teton National Park. Based on texts to her mom, it appeared that Brian and Gabby made it to the park the next day, and they ended up staying at least the next few days. During this week on the 27th, the couple had lunch at a Tex-Mex restaurant in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. While at the restaurant, Brian got into an argument with the manager, a waitress, and the hostess, aggressively talking to them and being generally rude. Gabby was so embarrassed about his behavior that she came back to the restaurant later, crying, to apologize for his behavior. That night, Gabby shared with her friends back home that she and Brian were planning on heading to Yellowstone next. From here on, there is some question on what really happened the last few days of August. What we know is that on August 30th, a text was sent from Gabby's phone saying, "No service in Yosemite." But Yosemite National Park is 800 miles from the Grand Tetons and not where she was supposed to be headed next. It also appears that Brian was by himself on the night of August 29th. He had been hitchhiking and picked up in Coulter Bay, Wyoming. Miranda Baker, the woman who allegedly picked him up and told her story on TikTok, said that he offered them $200 for a 30-minute ride to Jackson. He told them that he had been camping by himself while Gabby was working at their van on social media posts. During the ride, Brian learned that Miranda was actually headed towards Jackson Hole. And when he found out that's where they were going, he freaked out and demanded to be let out of the car. Miranda let Brian out near Jackson Dam. From there, it seems that Brian may have been picked up by another driver, a local woman named Norma Jean Jalovic, and was taken to the Spread Creek camping area. He also told Norma Jean that Gabby was working at their van while he did some camping. When they made it to Spread Creek, he wanted to be dropped off right at the entrance. Both of the women who gave him rides suggested that Brian didn't quite look like someone who had spent a few days camping in the wilderness. He was too clean. Besides the two stories of Brian hitchhiking in Wyoming, little is known between the blow-up at the restaurant on the 27th of August and a few days later on September 1st, when Brian Laundrie returned to his parents' home in Northport, Florida, alone. The white van that Gabby and Brian had taken on their road trip was also found at home, parked in their garage. But where was Gabby? A few days after returning home without his fiance on the 6th of September, Brian and his parents left Northport to go camping and stayed at a campground 75 miles from home. They returned on the 8th. Another few days passed, and on September 11th, after not being able to get in contact with Gabby for nearly 2 weeks, the Petito family, who still lives in New York, called the Suffolk County Police to report her missing. While it was normal for them to go a bit of time without talking to Gabby while traveling, they knew that this was too long for her to have not reached out or replied to their messages. Knowing that Gabby was living in Northport with the Laundries, the Suffolk police reached out to the Northport police to see if they could find Gabby and for them to talk with Brian and his parents. Given that she was on a trip with Brian, it was assumed that he was one of, if not the last person to see her. When the police arrived at the Laundries' Florida home, they were essentially handed the information for the Laundries' attorney, according to one officer. Brian and his parents didn't seem interested in helping the Petito family find Gabby. The Petitos were shocked. Why would their soon-to-be son-in-law not want to help them find his fiancé? On the 14th of September, the Petitos issued a statement asking the public for any information and emphasized Brian's lack of cooperation. Police in Florida echoed this sentiment, saying that his lack of support was actively hindering their investigation. In response, Brian's family's lawyer issued a statement that the police had labeled Brian as a person of interest, and that Brian's lack of involvement was to prevent the police from using anything that he said against him as the investigation unfolded. While perhaps from a legal perspective, this makes sense, to the public, Brian's silence only made him look all the more guilty.
By mid-September, Gabby Petito had been missing for weeks, and the primary person who might know something about it was refusing to talk. Despite the Laundries' lack of cooperation, police were able to make some headway in finding Gabby. They had retrieved the body cam footage from August 12th, the day the couple had been stopped by police for fighting. They also continued to search in Grand Teton, Wyoming, but given how large the national park there is, they struggled to narrow down their search. On September 17th, the case suddenly took an unexpected turn when the Laundries asked the police to come to their home. Police arrived and Chris and Roberta Laundrie shared that their son Brian was missing now too. They shared that Brian had left on the 14th to go camping at the Carlton Reserve, a nearly 25,000-acre preserve in Sarasota County, Florida, with over 80 miles of hiking trails. They were hoping that police would help them find their son. The FBI announced that they were now searching for Gabby Petito and Brian Laundrie in two entirely separate places in the United States. For more than a day, local and federal agencies searched for Brian and Gabby. While no new leads were uncovered in Florida, a horrible discovery was made in Grand Teton National Park. On September 19th, over a week after she was initially reported missing, a body matching Gabby's description was found in the Spread Creek dispersed camping area of the Bridger-Teton National Forest. Now believing they were dealing with a homicide, the police issued a warrant to search the Laundries' Northport home. They took Brian's car and a hard drive that they believed might contain evidence. His parents, Chris and Roberta, were also questioned. By September 21st, the Petito family's worst fears were confirmed. The body that had been found in Grand Teton National Park was that of their 22-year-old daughter, Gabby. While the coroner wasn't able to, at least publicly, confirm a specific cause of death, it was noted and shared that her death was a homicide. Now dealing with the murder, investigators increased their focus on finding Brian Laundrie. Though his behavior was suspicious, he was the last person known to have been with Gabby and had been demonstrating violent and aggressive tendencies during their trip. Police didn't have enough evidence to charge him with anything officially. On September 23rd, police issued a federal arrest warrant for Brian, but not for anything to do with Gabby's murder. The warrant was about an unauthorized use of a Capital One bank card. Apparently, between August 30th and the 1st of September, Brian had used a debit card and a PIN for an account that didn't belong to him and made charges of more than $1,000. For the many people following Gabby's case, this was seen as disappointing. To the public and the Petito family, it seems clear that Brian knows more than he was letting on, and that he had to have had some involvement with her death. But given the law, the best police could do was a low-level charge of misuse of a credit card. The Petito family asked that Brian turn himself into the FBI or the nearest law enforcement agency, but they were doubtful. After all of this time, Brian and his parents hadn't done anything to help them find their missing daughter, so why would they start now? The Laundrie's lawyer tried to assure the public that Chris and Roberta had no idea where their son was or what had happened to Gabby, but many weren't buying that. According to social media, many believed that his parents had assisted Brian in leaving town, giving him a 3-day head start before the police started looking for him. On September 26th, a week after it was confirmed that Gabby was the victim of a murder, nearly 200 people gathered in Northport near City Hall for a memorial honoring Gabby Petito, some of which didn't even know Gabby personally. Her story, life, and legacy resonated with the community, and many wanted to pay their respects. A funeral was also held in Long Island for the Petito family. Even though Gabby's body remained in Wyoming for an autopsy as the investigation continued, the family knew it was important to celebrate her life. The service, which took place at Maloney's Holbrook Funeral Home, was packed, and it was also streamed online. Gabby's mother, father, and siblings spoke and shared beautiful stories about Gabby. In their eulogies, they shared hope that others would be inspired by Gabby's beautiful spirit to live every moment to its fullest and be kind and love one another. They asked that instead of sending flowers, those who wished to share their condolences would instead donate to the Gabby Petito Foundation, an organization they were starting that would work to provide resources, guiding, and funding to families of missing children. While most missing persons cases do not get national attention, there was an overwhelming outpouring of support and attention given to the search for Gabby, and now Brian Laundrie. Because of the media's focus, police received far more witness testimonies and tips that helped them find Gabby's body than they anticipated. In fact, it was another vlogger who noticed Gabby and Brian's van in the background of some of her footage that helped police narrow down their search. Without such attention, it could have been even longer before Gabby's body was found. In fact, there was actually another body located near where Gabby's body was found. Because of the attention given to Gabby, attention was brought to another person, Robert Bob Lowry, a 46-year-old man from Houston, Texas, who had gone missing around the same time as Gabby. They raised awareness in the Teton area and resulted in two people calling local authorities to share information about Bob Lowry's case. Police were able to use these tips to determine his last known location, what he was wearing and carrying with him, and eventually find his body near the Black Cannon Trail outside of Wilson, Wyoming. While both Gabby and Bob's cases ended with terrible loss, the public's focus on them allowed two grieving families to find some closure. But it also has emphasized a great divide in what cases garner, such as national public attention. Because Gabby and Brian are a young, attractive, white couple, many felt that they received a disproportionate amount of attention relative to other missing persons cases. This appears particularly salient in comparison to the over 700 indigenous people who have gone missing in the last 10 years in Wyoming, but have received little to no attention. The Petitos recognize that they were privileged in their search for Gabby, and that many families are still looking for closure and are desperate for even a fraction of attention that Gabby received. They've encouraged the public to help their local authorities with equal concern, compassion, and care as they did for their daughter. As of today, Brian Laundrie is still a missing person, and the internet is rife with possible rumors. Some suggest that he's made it out of the country. Others have wondered if he was unable to survive the nature preserve and perhaps was eaten by wild animals. We hope that Brian, guilty or not, will be found soon to help the Petitos and all of those who have been impacted by Gabby's life find closure to this horrible chapter. Thank you all so much for listening to this week's episode. We will see you next week.
Crime Salad is a Weird Salad production.
Are you kidding me? That was perfect.
Yeah.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts. Appointments. Online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions. No more stress. Stay connected. Stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.